Apes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome.
Oh, you're welcoming them now?
You know what? We were really mean in the last intro.
We were?
Not really. Like, we weren't trying to be mean. We were just being ourselves, but they would classify it as mean to where I'm just this is like barely even trying.
Okay, yeah.
So, welcome.
Hi.
Come on in.
Welcome on in there.
Come on in here.
You crybaby.
Get in your dang crybabies.
Dang, dang, dang it a dang.
Dang, dang, da dang, dang, dang.
Yup. We got movies.
We do have them. We watch them with our eyes and everything.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I have a fun one. I don't know what you got.
I have an oddball one.
Okay. All right. Do you want to end fun or odd?
Ooh.
I
think we should end fun.
Okay. Then you should definitely kick this off.
Okay. I will start with 2024's Destroy All Neighbors.
Destroy All Neighbors?
Destroy All Neighbors.
Interesting. Are your neighbors getting up to?
I know.
The Clopex.
I watched this on 10/29/24. It is 1 hour and 25 minutes. It's a horror comedy film directed by Josh Forbes, starring Jonah Ray, Alex Winter, and Kieran Deal.
Alex Winter?
Alex Winter.
Now I'm interested.
Yeah, I knew you would be. This is way up your alley.
All right. I can feel it.
This one, for summary, is a struggling rock musician finds himself in a living nightmare when he accidentally kills his neighbor from hell.
From hell. Okay.
So he's a musician. He does recordings at a studio as his day job.
Okay.
And he has been working for years and years on this, which has to be perfected,
sure,
prog rock album.
Oh, wow. Prog rock. That makes more sense then.
Yes. It's like so incredible. And nobody really gets it. He like plays the tracks for the guy who runs the recording studio. And he's just like, like, it's not that good. And so he's like, I don't know. I got to keep pouring my heart and soul into it till I figure it out. And he gets a new neighbor. He lives in not quite a tenement, but it's like kind of run down, obviously more affordable lodgings.
Sure.
With his girlfriend, who you can tell she's a little frustrated with him. And she's trying to be supportive, but she's just like, I don't understand what you're doing with this prog rock stuff. And I don't understand what level of complete you want this to be. And he's like really precious with it.
That's fair though.
And he gets this new neighbor played by Alex Winter, who's in like full ridiculous makeup. And he's playing like this Soviet kind of guy.
Okay.
Who like brings in all this homemade workout gear and listens to like EDM music super loud while working out at all hours.
I love it.
And so instead of just like the girlfriend just keeps insisting he goes over and talks to him. Like, just go talk to him.
Right.
And he's like freaking out. And he's like, I'm going to pound on the wall. It's like, why don't you just go over there and talk to him? He's like, I'm going to go report him to the landlady. And she's like, why don't you just go over there and talk to him?
Right.
And he's like, you know what? I'm calling the cops.
Mm.
And she's just like, just go talk to him.
Right.
So finally one day she's gone and he gets mad and he hits the wall.
Right.
And like everything stops.
Nice.
The music cuts out. You hear this loud crash from all the workout gear like smashing down to the floor. And you hear like this cursing in another language and snarling. And now the dude's like petrified. So he calls the cops because he's terrified for his life.
Sure.
The cops come after like a half an hour, 40 minutes.
Sure.
He's standing outside waiting for them. They go back in and the guy is in his apartment having tea with his girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
And so like they're talking and chit-chatting. He charms the police and then he threatens the guy while no one's listening.
Nice.
And so finally they kind of have it out and he accidentally decapitates him with his own exercise equipment.
Oh, that's great.
And so now he's trying to hide the body.
Sure.
And while he's trying to hide the body, the guy comes back, like, quote unquote, from the dead. And he's like, oh, no. And he's like panicking, freaking out. And there's this homeless guy outside the recording studio who he brings like food to occasionally. And he ends up hitting him with his van while he's fighting, quote unquote, the guy who's returned,
neighbor.
And so he murders this guy and he's flattened him and he's got to get rid of his body now.
This is great.
And it's just like it turns into him murdering another neighbor. And they're all they all become like his internal monologue. Like they all become like his fear of releasing the album without it being perfected.
Oh my god, that's
versus
awesome.
Like him being encouraged to do it. He finds out the homeless guy that he feeds and runs over is like a prolific prog rock musician, and so he helps him. And then he finds that at a point the landlady's trying to get him to help her with the power, which is like all rigged up, and he's helped her before.
Right.
And he's like, "You have to do it yourself," because he's in the middle of trying to hide the third neighbor's body. And so she ends up electrocuting herself.
Yep, yep.
And then so she joins into the crew.
Oh my goodness.
And so they end up, he's like, I gotta record this. I'm gonna get caught. And the girlfriend comes home and she sees all these bodies that he's amassed in the apartment, and she freaks out. And he's like, "That's it, we gotta go to the recording studio." So his boss is there having relations with one of the recording artists who's there, is another guy, and they're like both embarrassed, and he ties them up to chairs, and then him and all the corpses record the last tracks of the prog rock album. And the girlfriend figures out what he's doing in the studio, and he's like, "I have hostages," and she's like, realizes that he's trying to finish this finally after all these years, and there's and you're not sure if there's actually bodies or he's imagining these murders. And so he's like, but he really has captured both of the record, his boss and the recording artist, and he has them held hostage. So he's like, "You have to tell the story." And she's like, "Do you want me to tell the one, my version or your version?" And he's like, "Tell your version," because he knows it's way longer. And so she starts to tell the story. He's like, "All right, guys, we have 38 minutes and 12 seconds to record this last track." And so like they record the prog rock album, and he ends up winning all these awards, but he goes to jail.
Sure.
It is wild. It is like very Alex Wintery. Like it has that freaked kind of like human cartoon element to it.
Oh my goodness.
It's out there, but it's like very fun. Everybody you can tell had a good time making this little like low budget indie movie kind of thing. It was very funny. The fact it's a prog rock album also cracked me up. And like through the whole movie, Jonah Ray's the main character. He's trying to defend why prog rock is so awesome.
Right, right.
And it's like just sounds like pretentious bullshit the whole time. It's so spot on. It's so funny and good. And it's just very bizarre. It's a little too over the top at times, but it knows that it's gonna be. So like you can kind of pass by. It feels like very 1990s MTV.
Sure.
Like that's like the exact vibe it's trying to elicit. And I think it does a really, really good job of making it fun, and like it was refreshing almost in a nostalgic way to watch it.
That's fun. Yeah. I smiled your whole review. So.
It was a good time. I really had a blast watching this one.
That's awesome.
IMDb gives it a 5.3 out of 10.
Boo.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 28 critics gave it 71%.
That sounds more fair.
Yep. Audience, 100 plus gave it 68%.
So close.
Sam was not around when I watched this one. Okay. So this is just a me score here. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10.
I mean, that sounds fair.
It was a fun movie. It's not pushing any boundaries. It's not blowing the roof off of anything, but it's just having a good time telling a story in a really interesting way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, while you're over there keeping the roofs on, I'm blowing them up. Uh-oh. Over here. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
2007's Smokin' Aces.
Uh-oh.
Another movie. I made it a point to get a bunch of movies we reference all the time.
Yeah.
Actually on here.
I saw this on the list and I was like, I think we already did this one. And I went back and looked just to make sure. I was like, holy shit, how have we not done Smokin'
Aces? We talk about this movie all the time.
I think the only thing we talk about more than Smokin' Aces on the podcast is perhaps the director of Smokin' Aces. Our favorite, Joe Carnahan.
Joe Carnahan. You're right. We do smile every time we bring him up.
Joe Carnahan.
Joe Carnahan. I watched this on the 22nd of October, feeling very Halloween.
Oh, yeah, no. This is kind of a good Halloween movie. They dress up. The characters are all absurd.
They're very absurd.
Both, this whole episode is absurd characters, the movie.
This cast is insane.
You know who's great in this movie? Chris Pine.
Yes. I didn't even realize that was him originally.
No. One of those ones that did not hit me the first probably three times I watched the movie. And I was like, is that fucking Chris Pine? At some point, I just looked it up.
I figured it out on this one.
Yeah.
It does help that we look up so much information for these movies. It's an hour 48. Your genre, dark comedy, regular-ass action, regular-ass comedy, regular-ass crime, regular-ass drama, and regular-ass thriller.
It's a lot of things, and they're all good.
Again, Joe Carnahan is your director.
Joe Carnahan.
Your cast includes Jeremy Piven, Ryan Reynolds, Ray Liotta, Alicia Keys, Ben Affleck, Common, Andy Garcia, Taraji P. Henson, Chris Pine, Jason Bateman, Joel Edgerton.
It's insane how many people are in this movie. The cast is crazy. It's a crazy ensemble movie.
This movie's so fun. It's very of its time, but it's probably one of the better ones of this genre, because I think mostly it makes sense.
Yeah, I think so.
It's big, bombastic, and dumb, but like it makes sense.
It embraces it.
Right. Your movie summary. When a Vegas performer turned snitch named Buddy Israel, what a great name.
Yeah.
Decides to turn state's evidence and testify against the mob, it seems that a whole lot of people would like to make sure he's no longer breathing. Yep. I like that. That's a good movie
scene. It is, yeah. It fits this movie very much.
One thing that you will definitely notice right away is Ryan Reynolds is completely a straight character this whole time. This is one of the few movies where he does not have his signature comedy.
No, he plays the straight man in this movie.
He is, you know, he's throughout the movie, he's one of the CIA agents trying to just decipher it, and he's under Ray Liotta as far as his rank, and they're just trying to work together to stop everything that's about to happen.
He's our parallel. Like he is our audience. Like he's finding out what we're finding out.
He absolutely crushes it, man. For like, I forgot that he was basically the straight man in this movie, and like, he does such a good job.
He does,
and he's never done it again. I don't think he doesn't want to.
This movie is so infinitely quotable. It's basically like the low rent Usual Suspects.
Sure,
because it's just like it tries to have this crazy twist to it, and it's like, but it's so great. There's infinite quotes from this movie. One of my favorites is when they have all the hookers in the in the high rise, and they send them out, and he grabs the one girl's wig and yells, "Bitch, you forgot your hat," and throws it at her. It's so good.
It's real good.
The cinnamon roll line.
Yes.
Oh my, it's so good. Like, there's so much in this movie that brings me so much joy.
The whole idea that there are so many different types of killers, contract killers, that are going to come for Buddy Israel, because they're all like, oh, once word gets out, this is going to be insane. But like, word is already getting out.
Yeah.
And you start realizing, because they introduce you to all the killers prior to them going to try to get him, and they are all so deranged and so completely different, and I really appreciated the variety amongst the killers.
Yes.
Alicia Keys is fantastic.
So good.
I don't know why she didn't do more acting. She probably did more music,
I guess. Good.
But like, she's so good in this.
She is.
Her and Taraji P. Henson are teamed up together. They're very good together. They have great dialogue.
Her at the end, when she thinks she's dead and she just loses it with the 50 cal and just pumps it through the side of the hotel is so cool.
Yeah. Them firing back at her is a little stupid, but beyond that,
yeah,
they're going to have no, I don't think they got the range, but let's pretend they do. Yeah. They're not going to be able to know where the hell she is. This movie's so cool. Jeremy Piven plays Jeremy Piven. He is just
so good.
So dislikable in this. Common is kind of like his head goon.
Yeah.
Common is very good in this as well. Common overhears him talking about how he's pretty much going to sell everybody out. And he's like, you know, what did you say? And it's
That like he's so dangerous in that moment.
Oh, my God.
He's like, he basically goes into the bathroom. He's like, I'm going to kill you now.
Right.
Just so you know, I'm going to kill you. And then he throws the card in his eye.
Throws the card at him.
Yeah, so good.
He lucks out so much.
He does.
The Buddy Israel character.
I love Curtis Armstrong in this movie too, is Jeremy Piven's attorney.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's such a little punk weasel guy, and then finally he's just like, dude, you lose, you gotta give it up, like,
right,
it's game over now. It's so good.
It's really good. But this is just bullets after bullet after bullet. This is so much action, it's insane.
The elevator with Ray Liotta, where they're just shooting at each other and the only lights is the gunfire, and the elevator is such a smart visual.
It's really good. And right before that you get the red light of like the emergency lights in the elevator. Man, everything is so smartly done in this movie. But it is largely a bullshit idea.
Like, oh, it's absolutely
especially
bullshit.
Like the Nazi kind of characters when they come in and they're just like, oh
yeah,
they're so like, we're just going up there, like they're very much the common man.
Oh yeah.
Trying to get in on this.
When Chris Pine is
amazing.
Having the back and forth with himself using Ben Affleck's corpse is so good. good.
I'm real sorry I did that to you. You know what? It's okay. I forgive you. Oh, you would do that for me? Like stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Holy hell. It is wild. It's, yeah, they have, like they're skilled and dangerous, but, like, they're not, like, trained. They're just, like...
Nuts.
Oh, my God. It's so
Every one of the killers is basically a cartoon character.
Yes. And if you're okay with that, you will love this movie.
Yeah, you just have to know. Yeah, it's just basically, like, what if, like, a 14-year-old came up with a concept for a movie?
You will not see the ending coming, which I appreciated because I didn't expect any kind of thought put into what we're doing.
No.
There's a crazy plot here you will not see coming. I guarantee you won't see it coming.
Because the movie really isn't asking you to do that.
Right.
Like, it feels almost like it's tacked on, I'd say, is my big critique of it.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But they also kind of leave it open because they keep looming over you that there's a Swiss hitman coming in.
Yes.
And everybody's like, we don't know a Swiss hit. Who is the Swiss? Who's the Swiss guy?
I love that everybody knows every hitman ever, by the way.
Right. But they're like, there's no known guy that is this dangerous that is Swiss. Like, no one knows who we're talking about. They're like, well, if a guy like that existed, we probably wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, man, I love that. They kind of use the Swiss as a way for us to be like, well, there's probably, you know, there's X minutes.
There's
left of this
something
movie.
Going on.
Something
yeah.
has to happen here. I love it. I love how silly and awesome this movie is.
Oh, yeah. Silly and awesome is a really concise and good way to describe this.
I put this, like Shoot 'em Up is one of my favorite movies in this kind of genre.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same fucking thing. It's
I love
silly
it. Yeah,
and
it almost needs its own genre, like super action or hyper action. Some kind of stupid name because that's what it is.
We got to coin it and then get on it. We got to start doing it.
Mel Gibson can lead the charge.
Sure.
Payback purposes. Like that kind of hyper bullshit. Like it's just so over the top. Crank would be a good example
of
one of these.
A lot of these Statham movies.
Yeah, like it's just like so, like all they care about is radical set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like barely a story to stitch together. And that is totally okay.
Yeah. Well, IMDb gave this a 6.6.
A little low.
The critics, you want to talk about low?
Oh, critics that hate this movie.
157 critics. They probably saw the cast and are like, what the fuck did I actually sign up for? 31%.
That is bullshit.
Yep. A quarter of a million people plus 62%.
Just nope.
I gave it a 7.5.
This movie's so much fun. Like, it's just so hard to... This is a tougher movie to, like, to review because it's how much... Like, what's the value in terms of the point scale for having a blast watching a movie? Because this movie's well shot. It's well thought out. It is really good. Like, it tells a story. It's not super, like, deep, and there's not a lot of really heavy themes. A little bit towards the end with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, at the end.
But not a ridiculous amount. And that's certainly, again... isn't what you're signing up to watch. And I do like that doesn't take up a ton of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's damaged by everything that's happened. And I think he does a good job of acting through it. Like,
he's
when
so
Ray
good.
Liotta passes in the movie, he's like completely broken.
Right.
And it's great.
And he will not stop until he gets an answer. He's like, I need this answer.
And it's totally fair. It's like, the way he says it, like, everything we've been through, like, he's just like, and his department head's just like, you got to go get debriefed.
Which is Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia. And he's like, no, you're going to debrief me right the fuck now.
Yeah,
it's just like, it makes total sense. It's not asking you, like, it doesn't push anything too far. I think it's really a fun movie. It's wild. I do not understand that little kid.
Yeah,
and his grandmother or whatever.
It's
like,
very weird.
It's like there's some weird choices in here, Joe Carnahan, but.
Comic relief, I guess.
It's weird. I think all I can think of is there was that one kid who was really popular from Cabin Fever not too far before this. There was a kid doing kung fu.
Right.
And it was just like, I guess that's what we were riffing on with this, but I just don't understand. Like you said, there's a lot of choices in here that date it to a particular point in time.
Yeah.
But if you can get around that and you can get around the absurdity of it, like, you're either going to embrace it or it's going to push you away. But I love it. I think this is a killer movie. Pun intended.
What a fun episode we had.
Yeah. Yeah, we had fun today.
Come back next week. Maybe we can have fun again.
Yay.
Probably not.
No.